Chid, I'm going to borrow you. Come here, Chid. He didn't know this ahead of time, so he's real happy about this, I'm sure. Where's that mic? Do you have the mic? Or? Well, actually, you, hang on to it for a second, but when you're done with it, if you can give it to Chid, you can have a seat there for a minute, Chid. When we get here in a few minutes, I'm going to have Pastor Glenn read something in a second, but when we're done, Chid's going to be my runner, okay? So as you guys have something that you do each Christmas that you would like to share with the group, I would like you to raise your hand, and Chid will come to you. And wait for him to get to you before you start talking so everybody can hear. When I got thinking, this originally was supposed to be part of a Youth Sunday celebration. It didn't quite work out that way. Some things didn't, timing-wise and with the youth and so forth. So we're going to do that in the spring, hopefully. But I decided to still talk on what I was going to talk on during that time. And again, every Christmas, I feel the weight as a father, as a school teacher, as a youth pastor. I feel the weight of what this season is and what it's becoming. So one of the things that I felt was necessary for us is during this time today to go through and find out what is out there that can be done that we can stay focused on Christ through the season. So again, I want to use some of your, we'll start off with you. Now, the good news is the more you talk, the less I talk, okay? So there's inspiration for you, okay? You've got some inspiration to volunteer. But before we do that, I'd like to cloak whatever we're doing today in Scripture. And the first part of Scripture I'd like to have read, and Glenn's been gracious enough to read it for me, is Luke 2. And again, that is the place most people turn to when it comes to the Christmas story, because, of course, we know it was written by Luke, and Luke, being a doctor, is detail-oriented. So it's probably the most precise place where the birth of Christ comes from. So, Glenn, if you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you. Now, you know, thank you, Glenn. You know, it's very, the Christmas season as a spiritual focus needs to focus on the nativity. And, you know, we have a nativity scene up here in the front, and I want to talk just a little bit about that before we move and get some suggestions from you all. But, you know, through the Christmas season and through the way things have become in TV shows and all those types of things, we kind of lose some of the things about the nativity that are not true. Okay, and again, most nativities you ever see, it never happened like that. It's kind of neat, it's kind of quaint, but, I mean, we all know that the people that didn't come until a few, you know, considerable time later, maybe up to 2 years later, were the wise men. So they're not at the same place as when the shepherds are there and so forth. So that, it makes for a neat thing, but there is some fallacy to that. Something that Pastor Tony mentioned when I was with him not too long ago that kind of, you know, reminded me of something too. You know, a lot of things that we think about during the Christmas season, I know we sing O Holy Night and Silent Night and those types of things. I mean, those of us that think about the birth of Christ, think about the nice, silent night, O Holy Night, all those things. But remember, Jesus was born as a boy, as a baby. Mary I don't mean this to sound cruel, but Mary really wasn't anything special in the fact that, yes, she was chosen to be the mother, but she still gave birth like we did. Not me, but you guys, okay? How you guys give birth, okay? So understand, when it says, oh, holy night or silent night, it probably was not very silent, okay? I can imagine a screaming mother in pain. And the things that are happening, you know, we don't think about those types of things, but, you know, what an opportunity to use the nativity scene to talk about Christ and the things of that time. Because, you know, our kids and grandkids don't know about history of that time. So to be able to sit down and use the nativity scene. Now, those of you who have heard me share before about around the Christmas season, the nativity scene in my house is a major focal point. If I would have been smarter, I would have taken a picture and we could have shown it above. But my nativity scene is like a nativity scene on steroids, okay? I mean, I have basically four different nativity scenes. Now, I only have one baby Jesus, one Mary, and one Joseph. But I've got multiple, probably 10 wise men. I've got probably 12 shepherds. I mean, I've got 15 sheep. I'm exaggerating, but I got a lot of stuff on this table because I want, as people to enter my house, that to be a main focal point of what they see when they enter my house. The idea that it was just, again, three wise men, there was three gifts, okay, not necessarily three wise men. So the whole idea of the nativity is important, and it really gives us, like I said, the opportunity to speak history to our kids about that time, but also the reality. I mean, the pain of that Mary went through, the struggles. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even imagine being Jesus' mom and dad. I mean, yeah, he's perfect, but wow, I'm not. You know, how humbling that must have been for Mary and Joseph to be the parents of Jesus and have to do the things that they had to do. So as we spend some time now in thinking about what you do at home, we'll start with the nativity because I think that's a great place to start. But again, I would search out, even in the area, I know Crossroads does a live nativity. I know in Eldersburg, I think it's Trinity Lutheran, does a live nativity. There's one to be found. We're going to talk about how you can encompass other things of the season into making them more spiritual in a minute. But let me, Chit, if you wouldn't mind being my runner here. Is there anyone who would like to start us off with something that you either do now or did when your kids were young or something that you can share that can maybe be to the benefit of the people in the room? Because I know, I look around this room and I know this is the first service and some of you can say, well, I've been there, done that. My kids are all up and grown. But we have grandkids. What a special place grandmom and grandpop's place can be that when they come to spend and celebrate Christmas at your place, you're able to draw them closer to Christ through the things that you do during the season. So I'd like you to really, I'd love, my goal for today is as you leave here today, for each of you to have something that you can put in your pocket that you're going to be able to do and use that you didn't think of before. So if any of you have a suggestion, we go ahead and start. Somebody with a hand up that could tell us what they do. Again, you got to keep hearing me talk if you don't volunteer your own. Anybody have something that they do? Back. He's going to start you up by running you a lot, Jed. Thank you.
Last year, I had my whole family together, and I shared with them the pens that I had made, and of course, you know the story about my son made a special pen for that year. It's a pen that says, Jesus is the lifeline to our Heavenly Father, and I wanted to make sure everybody in my family knew that the spiritual lifeline was through Jesus Christ. This year, I'm going to share with them John the Baptist, and his theme and his whole life was geared on becoming less and less and Jesus becoming more and more. And that theme is going to be, I'm going to teach them that they need Jesus in their life. They need Jesus to become stronger and stronger in their lives each and every day. And in that presentation that I'm going to share, Jesus said that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist didn't write anything down anywhere. What he was a witness to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. And that is something that I want my kids to be, my grandkids to be, and my great-grandkids to be. And I want our church to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Someone else? Something that maybe you share? Irv?
Hi, folks. I want to share something that usually happens a little bit before Christmas, maybe as far as a week before Christmas. My wife is big on crafts, and we enjoy having our adopted granddaughter, Amanda, and her grandchildren come over, and I just enjoy watching them make Christ-related, spiritual-related gifts. They don't necessarily have the money to go out and buy gifts for their grandparents or something like that, but I tell you, the gifts that they make are priceless. Now, on Christmas Eve, we gather around, read the Bible, pray, sing some hymns, and then we get busy on the phone calling the relatives that are out of town and wishing them the same thing. I'm sure many of you do the same. So my Christmas maybe is not too different from your Christmas. And by the way, you all have a Merry Christmas this year.
Thank you. Someone else? Something they do to try to stay focused? Up here in the front, Chick.
Years ago when our boys were little, we would take the manger scene, the only one we had at that time. And just like the guy up here, we did not put the baby in until Christmas morning. But during the, well, probably the month of December leading up to Christmas, we said to them, when you show kindness to somebody in the family, to your brother or to somebody in the family, you may put a piece of straw in the stable. So we had a basket of little broken up pieces of straw. Every act of kindness then put a piece of straw in the stable. The idea is we want to make a soft bed for the baby Jesus. And so by the time December 25th came, there was a mound of straw. And it really was, because this was something visual that they could do. And so on Christmas morning, we put the baby Jesus on top of this pile of straw, and then we sang Happy Birthday.
Amen. Someone else? Either way, don't matter. So you're practicing those basketball moves there, Chid?
Well, for us, I don't need to stand up. for us, Christmas Eve, you know, always has been set up in such a way that we have a Christmas Eve service at church. And I know a lot of folks have family traditions about Christmas Eve, but our family tradition has always been Christmas Eve at church, long before being a pastor. Growing up in our home church, there would always be a Christmas Eve service. And one of the things that I really like about the Christmas Eve service, it's just reading the story once again, reading some of the prophecies, and the impact of the service, it doesn't change a whole lot year after year. There's something about just doing kind of the same thing again, reading that story and recognizing our role as being the light of the world. And it's always when we light the candles in the Christmas Eve service throughout that, you know, Jesus is the light of the world and we're supposed to spread that light, has always been just a very meaningful thing for me that I could do year after year after year after year, and it's just kind of fresh. Even though it's the same, it's fresh every year, and one of my favorite services in the church every year. And so for us, it's always been that has kind of helped us center, even though there's all the mayhem of decorations and so on, that service has always kind of helped us center on the real meaning of Christmas.
And I know as you're coming up here, Chin, and I know the idea of the same thing over and over again, I haven't actually asked about this, but I'm imagining Ninette's going to sing Silent Night again, I hope, for that service. Are you, Ninette?
I don't know.
Well, if you're not, I'm going to... Yeah. Lynn's probably going to hate me for saying that. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so... And I know whether you want to hear it or not, I'm doing Mary Did You Know again, so some of the same things that we're going to do. Okay.
We have a grandson that's 19 months old, and John and I went to a bookstore, and we looked for a board book for him that had really good Christmas, story to it. So we mailed it off first part of December, and last week our daughter-in-law, she FaceTimed us, sat and read it to him, and obviously it's been again because he really enjoyed it and was able to set, and this was a story that we hopefully that they can concentrate on. And then we've bought the nativity scene from Fisher-Price, so when he comes to visit us, he's going to be able to sit down on the floor and play with Grammy and Pappy with the nativity scene and have the story again.
Now, when doing some of the research for today, one of the things that popped out was something you just shared, was the idea of a nativity set that the kids could actually play with and actually be part of and, just get a feel for what that is instead of it just being something that's up on your mantle or whatever. So that was something that I saw as well. Someone else to share? Maybe one more? Anybody else?
I guess it's like I guess I'm saying it right, cohort operation, in that during the year, the children in the neighborhood, they know they can come to my door and then get a Freezy Pop or an ice cream sandwich or whatever I have in the refrigerator. They just come in. The reason being I look for that or allow them to do that is because none of them go to Sunday school. And I really feel about that, that they don't do that. So at Christmas time, it's important to me to have a nativity scene outside. And we've had one for years. Well, ours just bit the dust last year. It was so old. So we've been looking and looking and looking to find one, and we found one, and we put it out the other day. And I thought, Lord, this is your opportunity. When they come to the door, that, you can speak about what's outside, or they can come and, ask a question. And that's really what was my thought that all these years, having that nativity outside to answer the question or to bring up an opportunity to talk to them.
Thanks. Now, I'm not going to be a person who speaks against the other aspects of Christmas. That's it. Thanks, Jade. You can have a seat. The other aspects of Christmas, because you can see I'm up here wearing my Tigger tie, and he's wearing a Christmas outfit. All right. And I know Pastor Larry is wearing his fun tie today as well. What I'm going to try to do for you today, and as well as some people have already shared, I'm going to try to give you some ways of taking what's out there in the secular world and using it to our advantage. Other people have been doing that with Christians, against us for years. Here's an opportunity for us to do that. One of the things that I came across in my research for today is the idea of, we know the 12 days of Christmas. And, we go through and the 12 gifts and all those types of things that you hear, the songs on the radio and so forth. One of the things I read, which I thought was pretty neat, was instead of the 12 days of Christmas, pick out 12 names of Jesus. And each day that leads, the 12 days that are around Christmas, each day use a name of Jesus and then, accentuate that name and what does it mean and where's the scriptures that have that name and, the power of that name and those types of things. I wrote down just a few of them. There are many names for Jesus that you could pick from, but a lot of the ones that are around this season, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Cornerstone, Deliverer, Alpha and Omega, Good Shepherd, Great High Priest, the I Am, Emmanuel, the Just One. Those are just 13 of many names that you could pick, and if you just picked one for a particular day, like I said, spend about 5-10 minutes on the internet, do some research, and through your Bible, and you can have something to share. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It's just something maybe right at dinner time that you can talk about with your families, or if when your grandkids come over, an opportunity, maybe they would even have an excitement about going to Grandpa's house to find out what's the word for today, what's the name for today that is going to be shared with us. So I realize everything that I share with you today is not necessarily going to be something you all want to use, but the idea is maybe from what we share, there'll be a few things you want to use. Yeah, go ahead, Nanette. Amen. Amen. It would. Okay. Any other thoughts before I move on?
I just would encourage everyone. We saw a show down in Reisterstown last night. My daughter was involved with her group. And the Johnson's Men's Choir sang there. They were awesome. And if you weren't planning on coming tonight, I would encourage you to come tonight. There was a program here in the Johnson's Men's Choir singing. They were spectacular.
Thank you. Another thing that goes on already in this church, and if you're not a part of, if you talk to Julia Landrum, she'll probably bring you as part of, is she works through an Advent process, an Advent calendar. Many of us in this church have been recipients of the Advent calendars, where Julia and friends, and I can tell you that the Advent calendars, and I'll get more into what they were, but meant a lot to my family growing up. But I can also tell you that it's also neat being part of the group that makes the Advent calendars. Julia has a night where we all come over and we bag candy and do all kinds of things for the different families, and it's a nice bonding event just in itself. But on top of that, what it does is it gives families the opportunity each day of December leading up to Christmas to be able to share a Bible passage and to be able to share some sweets. And again, the gifts of the season, and talking about gifts and those types of things, being able to focus it more on the real purpose of Christmas, not the peripheral things that we use and we celebrate. So I wanted to take this opportunity also to thank Julia. Julia's here today. For how many families are represented in here that have had Julia's Advent calendars that have helped them in their family? I mean, if you look around the room, there's quite a few, and I bet you if you look at the next service, you're going to see a whole lot more. All right, so there's a something that if you're not part of, and you don't even have to create that, you just need to go to Julia and say, hey, Julia, would you mind doing this for my family as well? And she would do that. She tries to keep it to young kids, though, not your kids that are 40 and 50 years old. All right. Another thing is I want to talk about is tree decorations. You know, at our house, I think everybody here, and I know our family is huge into Christmas traditions, both spiritual and non. But one of the things that we do is we do our Black Friday shopping, and I know for some of you that's like, stay away, you know. But we do go out on Black Friday, and we do the whole thing. And it's not because we really need anything. It's kind of the beginning of the season for us. You know, we kind of try to fend off, you know, the store decorations and all that kind of stuff before Thanksgiving. But after Thanksgiving, we try to hold it, and that's our kind of launching into the season. And through that, the season and the decorations and stuff, what I would like us to try to think about and focus on is how can we use the things that we already do. My family comes over that Saturday after Black Friday, and we do decorate our house, which I always thought was awesome because the older, and I know how you guys feel the same way, the older you get, the less you want to decorate. All right, so it's kind of neat to have the family come over and do the decoration. Now, I haven't figured out how to have the day at the end of the season to have them come back and take it all down, okay? Haven't figured that one out yet. We're still working on it. I'll let you know how that goes. But it's neat to make that a family thing. And one of the things that I read up on and I'm going to try to use even with my older kids and as I eventually, hopefully someday, God please, have grandchildren, okay? One of the things that they do is take the things that you do in your tree and talk about Christ in the process. One of those things is obviously putting the lights on. We're supposed to be, you know, light the path. God is the, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. All the different things that you can talk about as you're lighting the tree. The tree itself, you know, we talk about the Christmas tree, but if you remember, it's not that far into the future where the guy Christ died on a tree. And you know, they bring in the idea that, you know, that's just kind of use that as a focal point of maybe some of the things. Yes, we focus on baby Jesus at the time, but understand that this the same idea of putting decorations on a tree come 30-some years later, we end up with Christ dying on a tree. So that's kind of something we can think about. The idea of gifts is an easy one, okay, the gifts of the Magi. And I didn't think of this when I was younger, and I didn't, you know, often my wife makes fun of me because I think of things and I think, wow, that's a great idea, and I think I'm really brilliant that I thought of it until I find it all over the internet and somebody already thought of it years ago, and it really wasn't me at all. But I always thought it would be a great idea, and if I had to do children all over again, God forbid, I would do three gifts. I would do three gifts for Christmas. To symbolize the gift of the Magi. And I wouldn't give them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, okay? But I would give them some three gifts. Now, some of the research I did on the internet, actually there are families that what they do on Christmas Eve is they do wrap up something gold. They wrap up some incense, and they wrap up some perfume of sorts. And on Christmas Eve, the tradition is the first gifts they unwrap on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, whichever, two different families, was those three gifts. Okay, so that was the tradition to keep them focused that, you know, yeah, Christmas is about gifts, but what's the most important of these three gifts? I always said in my family, like I said, if I did it all over again, I would give three gifts at Christmas because most of us know the craziness of the Christmas season and trying to make sure you get, did I get enough for this person and this person? And you try to even that out. I don't know if it's your family's, but it is in my family. So that would be a nice way of controlling that. In my family, if I had to do it all over again, I would then make birthdays the bigger deal for the one person. But Christmas is about Jesus and about the three gifts. So again, that's something I can share from what I didn't do, but I think I would do if I had to do it all over again. This next area is an area of focus for a family. And I know many of us do that. We do the Christmas boxes, the Samaritan's Purse, you know, pack of Operation Christmas Child, we do those Christmas boxes. This is often a time where we, churches and outreaches and those types of things are really looking for ways of reaching out to communities. So an opportunity to do that is the Christmas boxes. Adopt a family. One of the things that Pastor Tony's talking about doing is kind of linking up with an elementary school and maybe doing some work at an elementary school like painting and that type of stuff. So that's something we might think about doing. But one of the things I know our FCA, our Fellowship of Christian Athletes, does at Liberty High School is we adopt a family each year. And it's a family that goes to our school. Now, we have to be very careful because we don't want to embarrass anybody from the school and so forth. But what we do is it's anonymous, basically. We find out things. The guidance counselors give us information. We buy presents for that family. We give it to guidance, and then they take it so the kids don't ever know where the presents are going. They just know it's for somebody at our school. But it's a great opportunity that we could even do in linking to a local school and finding out where the areas of need, or even in our church, and find the areas of need, and adopt families. Sunday school classes, I know, do these types of things. But just some of these things I'm sure you're already doing. Another thing that I read about as well is fasting. You know, in a time of, let's be honest, in a time of gluttony, okay, around the Christmas season, what a great opportunity to focus back on Christ by maybe as a family having a time of fasting, whether it's a meal, whether it's a day, whatever is right for your family or your medical conditions that you can do in your family. But that's something else that I read was the focus by taking a day of fast. Also, caroling, and we talked about, we're doing that next Wednesday, kind of an advertisement. We'll be leaving here Wednesday as a part of a caroling dinner and reaching out to the community. What an opportunity to be able to get to shut-ins, to areas. And, you know, this is a great time. My youth hear me say this all the time at Christmas time. This is, to me, the prime soil for a Christian. Easter, not as much. I mean, that's important as well, obviously, but for being able to evangelize, the Christmas season seems to be the most fertile soil. People are singing the carols, people are, you know, hearing it, and you know they know a lot of the details. It really gives you more of an opportunity, even when you're paying at a cash register, to be able to share Christ with people in a very subtle, you know, easy way, and not preaching at it. So caroling's something else that we obviously can do, and you can do as a family. One of the things that I read about as well is the idea of sharing stories. You know, most of us think our children know about our Christian life, but how often do they really don't know some of the details of things that have happened in your life where God has shown up in a big way? And I'm not just talking about he saved, you know, grandmom from this disease or, you know, this person from cancer. I mean, those are all huge, okay? But I'm talking about the little things that we do. I call them in the youth group God winks. Those times where God shows up in your life in what seems to be a little way, but it's one of those things where you just kind of look at God and go, yeah, I get it, God. I know. You care. You love. You're even in these little things, you're with me. Right. We can share testimonies through the newsletter as well. But think about how you can do that. Now, again, you're talking about, let's say as a grandparent, you have a limited time with your child, with your grandkids. You don't want to like be preaching at them the whole time. So as I'm saying, you find the different things that work for you. And maybe on a given day, say, you know, this is how God showed up to me today. Or this is what God showed up to me. When I was like 30 or 40, let me just tell you something that happened in my life that I thought was huge, even though it was really small, to let God know he really cared about me. So being able to share some stories about Christ as well would be neat. Watching a story about the life of Christ was another suggestion that I heard or read. One of the things that I know, and I heard, Linus say it a minute ago, a lot of people do the birthday cake idea and sing happy birthday. I think that's a great idea. What I liked even better was I read a particular birthday cake that someone made where it's a chocolate cake being the sin. The filling was like a cherry pie filling being the blood of Christ. And then the outside was white frosting, meaning new life in Christ afterward. So it's kind of taking the whole birthday theme and then taking it a huge step forward spiritually to try to really link it to Christ and focusing on that. That's most of what I wanted to share with the different ideas. But what I really want to finish this off with is the idea that you've heard me say already, this is the season of choice and chance for us to be able to get out there. And it's a very glorious, and almost everybody's life in this room, it is glorious at this time of year. I mean, we get to sing the Christmas carols, you know. You've always heard me say this before, but I like both services, especially since in the early service we sing a lot of hymns and I sing bass to that. And the second service, it's mostly praise and worship, I sing tenor to that. So I get to live in both worlds and have a lot of fun with that. But, you know, there are so many people that don't have the joy of the season. I know you've heard me share when I've spoke around this time before as well, the highest suicide rate is during this season. We don't think about those things. We're thinking about me, 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 my family, my family, my family, and how joyous and how much fun and everything something is. But, you know, through all these traditions, which is what I'm trying to get you to instill and get you to think about in your family, realize there's many families that don't have those things. So this is a season that points to all the things that they don't have. You know, most of us in this room have wonderful families. There are many who don't. The families of people in this community and around the world are drug-induced, alcohol-driven, abuse, all the things. So when they start thinking about the lovely family at Christmas time, they have no idea what we're talking about. When we start talking about gifts and being able to give gifts, and I'm one of those people that truly enjoy giving a gift more than getting. Getting usually makes me more uncomfortable. Giving makes me make them uncomfortable, which I like better, okay? But the idea that so many people don't have that as an alternative. You know, and I shared with someone this morning as I was talking that they shared with me how someone that they just recently has committed suicide. And I told them, I wanted them to understand that I wasn't saying what I was going to say today because what they shared. But I want you to understand that it was a real, in my face, this is serious stuff at this time of year. And how can we as a church, how can you as an individual meet the needs of someone during this time? You know, all the things that happens around Christmas is all about consumption. What is it that I can consume? What can I buy for my, buy, eat. And it's a wonderful time to share that with your family. But a lot of the things that I've shared about adopting families and all these types of things, I would urge all of you, and my family included, to be able to look to reach out to meet someone. I always tell the youth that you don't know. You hear these stories all the time, but you don't know who you pass in the halls of your school who might be planning to commit suicide that particular day. You don't know. You hear the stories that if this person doesn't speak to me today, nobody speaks to me today, I'm going to go home and take my life. And you hear some neat stories of how someone did reach out to them. So, you know, just realize that through all the neat things of Christmas, it's not neat for everybody. So if I could get the piano person to come up, I'm going to go ahead and close out. Again, not a big time of maybe in your life thinking about what you need to change, just in your spiritual walk, but hopefully through the things that we've shared today, it gives you an opportunity to be able to think of how you might change some of the actions. And it's not too late for this season. Everything that I mentioned on there is not too late for the season. You can pick one or two of those and get going with your family. Even if you're a family of two right now or a family of one, where you don't have grandkids yet or you don't have children, you know, a family of one or two is the same. All right, look to reach out and not just be a consumer during this time. Look to meet a need. So as you stand and as we get ready to sing this last song, I want you to go through the normal things. We always want to leave the opportunity to God to speak to you where you can want to come forward and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior because, you know, Christmas without Christ is just mess. Okay? It's a mess, more or less than anything else. So with Christ, it brings organization, it brings focus to our lives. All right? So as we pray for that, if you don't have that Christ that focuses you during the season, you really have nothing. And I don't mean to be rude, but you really don't have anything. Anything that you have without Christ is going to perish. But with Christ, you have life. So I pray that as you stand and we get ready to sing this last song, that if that's something you need to do, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, please feel free to do that. If you want to join the church and say, hey, I know the first thing I need to do is get up front there and join this church, so I need to get busy working for Christ to do that as well. But use this time to whatever God speaks to you.